Parshas Kedoshim. This parsha is a very, very special one. There is no other parsha that we have learned until now that has as many mitzvahs as this parsha. Our chachamim tell us that this parsha has as many as 70 different mitzvahs. And because these mitzvahs are so important, Moshe Rabbeinu taught these mitzvahs to the Yidden in a very special way, different than many, many other mitzvahs. When Hashem told Moshe about these mitzvahs, Hashem said, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Speak to the entire assembly of the Yidden. Usually, when Hashem would give Moshe a mitzvah to tell the Yidden, Moshe would first call his brother Aharon, and he would teach him the mitzvah of Hashem privately. He would explain Aharon all the details that Aharon should be able to understand it. You can just imagine that the way Aharon was able to understand the mitzvah was much deeper and much greater than any other Yid. Then, when Moshe finished teaching it to Aharon, Aharon would sit down on the left side of Moshe. Moshe would then call Aharon's sons, and Moshe again taught them the pasuk of the Torah, or the halacha, that Hashem gave him in a way that they should be able to understand it. When Moshe finished teaching it to them, then they also sat down next to Moshe, and the Zkenim, the elders, were called in. Moshe repeated the same thing to the Zkenim in a way that they were able to understand it. And then finally, all the Jewish men were called to Moshe. Yes, Aharon, his sons, and the Zkenim, the elders, were all there while Moshe Rabbeinu would repeat the mitzvah once again to all the Yidden. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the Yidden, he would explain it to them in much more detail, making it much more simple for them to understand on their level. And of course, Aharon, his sons, and his Zkenim were all there while Moshe was teaching it to the Yidden. But this parsha, Kedoshim, was taught to the Yidden in a different way. When Hashem told Moshe all of these mitzvahs, Hashem said, don't teach these mitzvahs to the Yidden in the usual way, first to Aharon, then his sons, then to Zkenim, and then to all the Yidden. Rather, you should call all the Yidden together, make a big assembly, and gather all the Yidden together, Aharon, his sons, the Zakenim, and all the Yidden, and not only the men, the women also, and also the children. All the Yidden should be gathered together while you're going to teach these mitzvahs. Why did Hashem want that Moshe should teach these mitzvahs to all the Yidden while they were all together, all at the same time? Well, first of all, this Parsha Kedoshim has so many mitzvahs that are so important, such as the mitzvah of loving another Yid, V'ohavta l'reacha kameicha, just as yourself, and many, many other mitzvahs. Hashem wanted that every single Yid should be there when all the Yidden are gathered, that they should be familiar and know every detail of this parsha with all of its mitzvahs. Also, another reason why Hashem wanted all the Yidden together, as you're soon going to see in the parsha, Kedoshim has many, many mitzvahs, which include also mitzvahs that were mentioned in the Ten Commandments, in the Aseres HaDibrais. And just like by the Aseres HaDibrais, all the Yidden were there, men, women, and children. The same thing is with Parshas Kedoshim. Since it has the mitzvahs of the Aseres HaDibrais, plus many, many more mitzvahs. Hashem told Moshe, the first thing to tell the Yidden is, Kedoshim Tihiyu. You should be holy. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. For I, Hashem your God, I am holy. Yes, after learning in the previous parsha, at the end of Achrei, how a Yid is supposed to be so careful not to follow the ways of the Knanim, of the Mitzrayim, the Goyish ways of life. That was telling us what we should not be. And this parsha is telling us what we should be, how we should act. And the first thing is, Kedoshim Tihiyu, that you should make yourself holy. What does it mean to make yourself holy? And how does a Yid become holy? Well, first of all, of course, this is by keeping the mitzvahs of the Torah. And if you stay away from all the things that the Torah tells us not to do, that's the first way of becoming holy. But that is not yet the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihiyu. By doing what the Torah tells us to do, and staying away from what the Torah tells us not to do, then you're doing all of those mitzvahs. But it's not yet the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihiyu. What is this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihiyu? Well, this means that we should be holy even when we are not doing other mitzvahs. Even when you are not davening, or you're not learning Torah, or doing any special mitzvah. A Yid is supposed to be holy even in his worldly matters. That means, even in the things that have to do with your body, even when you eat, you drink, you sleep, you play, you do business, anything you do, and you act in a way of holiness, that is the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tihiyu. Let's say, for example, when a person eats food, he should only eat the kinds of food which will help him serve Hashem better. Automatically, the person will stay away from any junk food, from any food which is just for the pleasure of eating it, and not really because his body needs it for its health. Yes, when a person eats, he should make sure to eat only healthy food that keeps your body healthy. Then you can be eating l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. That is, for Hashem's sake, in order to serve him better. So that is how you make yourself holy during your eating. The same thing is when you're relaxing, you're sleeping, or even when you're having fun. It's all right to have fun, to play, but remember, why do we relax? Why do we play? In order to have strength, to learn, to daven, to do the mitzvahs better. Yes, that's the real purpose of our playing and having fun. So when you go to sleep, and you have a mind that you're going to sleep in order to have strength to serve Hashem better, so then you are Kedoshim, you are making yourself holy, even while you're sleeping. The same thing is when you're talking to people. I'm sure you can guess of a good way to be holy while you're speaking to people. You're speaking to your friends. That's right. When you speak only good words that make people feel good. Not only when you speak Torah and you tell someone something that you learned in yeshiva, but also when you're speaking about just anything, to speak with a nice, good language, a language that fits for a Yid, and to say only words that make people feel good, not chas v'shalom lashon hara. to say over bad things that another Yid did, chas v'shalom? Rather, we use our tongue only in a way to bring more kedusha, more holiness. That is, of course, by speaking only good words, words that can bring help to another Jew. And the same thing is with everything else we do during the day or during the night. You can go on and on with examples, finding ways that we can make ourselves more and more holy. And do you know what the simplest way is? That before you do something, or before you say something, or before you even think of something, ask yourself a question. Is this what Hashem wants me to do? Is this going to please Hashem? Is Hashem going to be proud of me for thinking the thoughts that I'm going to think? Or for saying the words that I'm going to say? Or for doing the action that I'm going to do? We must ask ourselves, before we do anything, is this what Hashem wants for me? And when a person thinks this, you will find yourself doing many, many, many more good things and automatically staying away from many, many things which are the opposite. So that's the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tehiyu, to make yourself holy, not only in the time of doing mitzvahs, but in all the other times when you're dealing with other things too. And how do we get the koyach, the strength to be able to do all of this? Well, on our own, we would never have had so much koyach to be able to live in such a way, constantly looking for more holiness and doing things that bring more kedusha. But do you know how we do have the strength for this? The Torah says, Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Yes, because Hashem is holy. And the holiness that a Jew has comes from the holiness from Hashem. That gives us the strength to make ourselves holy throughout our entire life. And you know, the best part of it is that every time you do this, you're getting a mitzvah. Say, for example, you are about to say some words to your friend, and you thought about Hashem, and you thought that you want to make yourself holy, and you don't want to say those words. At that moment, you just got a mitzvah. Yes, the first mitzvah of this parsha, Kedoshim Tehiyu. Or let's say you were going to do something, but then you thought it over, that maybe this is not exactly what Hashem wants for me to do, and you stopped. Then again you did a mitzvah, Kedoshim Tehiyu, to make yourself holy by staying away from something that Hashem does not want us to do. So you can just imagine how many times a day you can do this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tehiyu. Then the Torah tells us the next mitzvah, and that is to respect your parents. Every single Jew, even after he grows up, he must respect his parents. And there are many ways to respect our parents. First of all, we're not allowed to call our parents by their first names. We also must listen to whatever our parents tell us. If they tell us to do something, we have a mitzvah to listen, to obey them. Another thing is, if your father or mother says something, and you think that they're saying something wrong, you're not allowed to contradict them. You're not allowed to say to them that they are saying something wrong. You're not allowed to correct them. And of course, while your father and mother are speaking, you're not allowed to interrupt. When they speak, you have to let them finish their sentence, and then, when you have permission, then you are allowed to speak. Another way of respecting your parents is by never sitting in the seat that they usually use for sitting. Now, if we take a look in the Aseret HaDibros, we see also the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, honoring your father and mother. So why is it repeated here in Parshas Kedoshim? Well, first of all, in the Aseret HaDibros, it's talking about honoring them. And in Parshas Kedoshim, it's talking about respecting them. What's the difference between honoring and respecting? Well, honoring your parents means like you're helping them, bringing them food, helping them with their clothing, or helping them in other ways. That's what's called kibud, honoring them. And in this parsha, it's talking about respecting them. Respecting them out of fear. Just like you're very careful. Let's say you are going to speak to a king, and you know that the king has the power to do anything to you if you do the wrong thing. Let's say you say the wrong words, or you act in the wrong way. The king has the full power over you. That's how you should feel when you're speaking to your parents, or the way you act to your parents. It should be out of fear. And that's why the Pasuk uses the word tira'u. You should fear them. You should have respect for them, just as you would have respect for a king. There is only one time that you don't have to listen to your parents. That is, if your parents tell you to do an aveira, a sin. For example, if on Shabbos, a parent would say to their child, do this and this thing, which is an aveira, then the child should not obey. Why? Because both the children and the parents must obey Hashem's commandments. And since the mitzvah of Shabbos is from Hashem, that comes first. But in all other times, we must respect and honor our parents. And we know how much the Yetzer Hara doesn't like when we keep this mitzvah. And he tries many different ways of getting us not to listen to our parents, not to honor them. But we have to remember that this is a mitzvah, and such a great mitzvah, for which Hashem promises us long life. Like it says in Aseret HaDibros, Lema'an ya'arichun yamecha, that by doing this mitzvah, Hashem will give you a long life. Of course, the reason we're doing this mitzvah is because Hashem said so, not because we want a reward. We're doing it just for Hashem. And therefore, even sometimes when it seems very difficult to follow this mitzvah, let's say, for example, as our Chachamim give us an example how sometimes it can be so difficult, let's say a father or mother would come to a person who's standing in public and he's giving a big, big drasha. He's saying a sermon. And they will walk over to him in public, tear his clothes, and insult him, embarrass him, and beat him in public. Would the son be allowed to do anything to show back how angry he is? No. He's supposed to accept this all silently, filling himself up with fear for Hashem, who gave us this mitzvah. Yes, like said before, we have to picture as if our parents are like a king. And just like by a king, you would not answer back. You would not argue with the king. The same thing, you have a mitzvah to obey your parents and do what they tell you to do. Then the Torah tells us, V'es Shabbosoisai Tishmeiru. This is the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. And it comes right after the mitzvah about respecting your parents, as we learned before, that we're always supposed to listen to our parents, except if they tell us to do an Aveira, like not keeping Shabbos, then Shabbos comes first. Then the Torah tells us the mitzvah, how careful we must be in staying away from anything that has to do with idols, with getchkes. We're not even allowed to look at a getchke, at an idol. Let's say by mistake, your eyes suddenly looked at somewhere where there was a statue that people worship. So you should not continue to look at it. Just turn away immediately. Also, not to have any benefit, not to use a getchke for any purpose at all. For example, let's say you want to tell a person where he's going to meet you, and let's say it's right near a certain house of idols, one of these goyish places where they worship idols. So you're not allowed to say to a person, I'll meet you across the street from that and that building, meaning the building where the goyim worship idols. Because then you're using that idol place for a sign which is helping you tell the person where to meet you. So you're gaining something from it, and you don't want to have any use from it at all. Also, we're not allowed to pay attention whatsoever to any of the things that have to do with getchkes, with idols. Not only not to do anything for the getchkes, but even, let's say, to read stories about it, or listen to lectures, or to read books. Anything, just let's say you're a little curious to know more about certain getchkes. Of course, you're not going to use it. You're not going to do anything with the getchkes. But you just want to know their philosophies, their religions. You want to know how they do it. The Torah says no. As the Rambam writes, it's an avera for a Jew to study anything at all from the other religions, from the goyisha ways of life, from their getchkes. That is why we must be so careful on what kind of books we bring into our house. Sometimes they can be written by goyim, and they have some things in there, even one page or a half a page, that talks about certain religious things of the goyim, certain getchkes or other things that they do in their religion. This is an avera. This is something that we are not allowed to do or even talk about. Then the Torah tells us that you should not make getchkes for yourself. And this makes no difference whether he's making it for himself or for someone else or even for a goy. That's right. A yid is not allowed to make a getchke even for a goy. Then the Torah tells us that since we love Hashem so much and we want to do His mitzvahs, when it comes to shechting a carbon, the kohen must be very careful that he should have the right thoughts in mind. We have learned about this already in a previous parsha about pigol. That is, that if the kohen had in mind while he shechted a certain carbon that they're going to eat it for more time, more days than they are allowed to, or in a different place than they're allowed to eat this carbon, then this carbon is pigol. It's not good, and you cannot eat it. Then comes a very special mitzvah, which is to help the poor. This is talking about a farmer. When a farmer plants his fields, after so much hard work, for so many months, when finally his farm is full of beautiful golden wheat, and he wants to cut it down, he has three mitzvahs that he's going to do. One is called leket, then shikha, and peah. What are these three mitzvahs? Well, you know what peah is. Just like a boy has to wear payas on the side of his ears to leave over some of the hair growing, the same thing, when the farmer cuts down his field, he should leave over, by the corners of the field, he should leave over some wheat. And this should be taken by the poor. Yes, the poor people will later come into the field and cut down those corners of wheat that was left over for them. What's leket? Leket means when the farmer is picking up all the pieces of wheat after he cut them down, sometimes one or two pieces of wheat can fall back down to the ground. Those pieces should not be picked up by the farmer. Rather, he must let them stay on the ground. If three pieces at a time fell down, or four, then he is allowed to pick it up for himself. But if only one or two pieces fell out of his hand, he must let those two pieces stay on the ground and leave them there for the poor people. What's shikha? Shikha means, let's say, after the farmer bundled up big piles of wheat, and he carried in all of the piles of wheat into his storage house. Then he takes a look and he sees, oh, I forgot one of the bundles in the field. Well, too late. He's not allowed to go back and take it. Yes, once he forgot it there, he has to leave it there for the poor. So these are three mitzvahs which are especially for the poor people. Leket, Shikha, and Peya. Also, let's say a person who has a vineyard, so when he goes picking the grapes, he should only pick those grapes which are ripe and ready. That is, those that are fully grown and ready to be taken off the vineyard. But let's say he finds some of the grapes that are not yet ripe and ready, they're still small, they didn't even form a cluster like a bunch of grapes yet. Those he must let stay in the vineyard for the poor people to come and take. The only grapes that the farmer is allowed to take are those that are ready and ripe. Also, while he's taking off the bunches of grapes, let's say one or two grapes fall onto the floor, on the ground, he should not pick it up, but rather leave it over for the poor. If three grapes or more fall down, then he's allowed to pick it up. But if it's two or one, he must leave it. Now the Torah tells us that this is not only for the poor people, but also for a ger. Yes, you have to leave these things over, that also a ger, someone who converted and became a Jew, should be able to take for himself. And now comes another mitzvah, of which we have learned in the Aseres HaDibrais, and that is the mitzvah of not stealing. In the Aseres HaDibrais, when it says Loi Signaiv, it's talking about kidnapping human beings, people. And over here it's talking about stealing some money from a person, or some of his other belongings. That is an avera. Even if a person steals less than a penny, it's an avera. That's right. It's an avera to steal anything from another person. And not only you're not allowed to steal from a Jew, you're not allowed to steal from a guy either. And as we learned in Parshas Mishpatim, that if two witnesses saw a Jew stealing, the Beis Din would make this thief pay back double. That's right. Not only does he have to return the object, but he even has to pay double from his own money.